1973. The interviewer was Mr. Barney Farley Sr., a longtime resident of Port Aransas, also a fishing guide on the island. The interview was conducted by Marion B. Dusick. You know, you just, when you came to Port Aransas, how long you've been here, and what type of work you did, and just same thing we did before.
Well, my father was a superintendent of the lighthouse service. And he built lighthouses from here to there, and here to Florida. And all of his brothers and sisters and in-laws and everything was living here. So we thought we'd come over and visit them for a while, which we did. And we came here in 1910, and I liked it here, and Dad liked it here because of good fishing, and he was wanted to retire and go fishing. And he loved to catch bluefish, which are large fish. And there was always a steady market for them. And we were going in for it commercially to make a living. And we caught bluefish for a long while, and then in between times when the mackerel came here, we fished mackerel. And at the time we were fishing, came here, they were using a piece of strip cloth, white cloth, and run it through an eye of a leader with a tie knot in it and cut it off the proper length, and that was what they were using to catch mackerel with. And it worked to an extent, but about a dozen mackerel and you didn't have any bait, and maybe not that many. And I was fishing with my one-armed brother who couldn't handle the boat or anything else with it with the one hand, or couldn't do any more than just handle the boat for we'd use these strips of white cloth, good tough white cloth, but it'd catch about three or four mackerel, and that would be the end of that. And the birth of the Hootie came up right then. He said he had a pretty good head on him for doing what was practical. He said, "Kid, you know, if we use some white thread and sisal, it would strip through their teeth, and the bait would last way longer. These other baits would last about three or four mackerel, and then we had to change the baits. We had to run with a hat full of baits for morning fishing." And of course, he couldn't make them, so I deserved the credit and of making the first Hootie, because my brother told me what to do and how to do it, but he couldn't make it, but I could. And so he and I made the first Hootie. He with his brain in my hands, and that's the way it come out. And we commercial fished here for a great long while. All the summer we fished mackerel, and that was a practice here, either that or rowboating for tarpon fishing in a rowboat. And tarpon fishing lasted longer than the mackerel fishing did, so when the mackerel fishing quit biting us, I had an idea that I wanted to be a boatman. I was 16 years old and healthy and could row a boat, and that's about all there was to it. But then I figured the man in the back end of the boat would be the would take care of the other end of it. And I guess there were 15 or 16 guys here in rowboats, and about two motorboats here to pull them out the end of the jetty. And I got them to, I helped them build a skiff, a rowboat, and suitable for, well, same kind of boats that the other fellas were using, and suitable for tarpon fishing and for one person. And I threw my hat in the ring and for a guide. And being strong and healthy and raring to go, well, the people who come here to fish, they like it because they could tell me what they wanted to do. And in other words, between the two of us, we did exactly what he wanted to do. And I was quite a successful guide for that reason, because I didn't tell the man what to do. The man told me what to do, and that's what he wanted, and that's what I needed. So I love the fishing game. I like the boat, and I could handle the boat just strong as anybody could, and I could fish all day long and with a pair of oars and just never feel anything. Come home, go to a dance that night, and I was pretty popular with Satan one of the other men, and one big old Jew boy from a liquor dealer in Dallas fished with me one time, and he said, "You know, I want you for my guide, and I want to build a boat, and you take care of it when I'm not here and use it, and when I'm here, well, we'll just have a real nice fishing boat." There's a Mark Saron, he's a liquor dealer there, and a heck of a nice fella. And I fished with one man most of the portion of the summertime, and he paid me wages, you know. And when he left, well, I could use his boat and continue with the motorboat. What we did, we towed the skiff out, and anchored the motorboat in a logical and safe place. Then we got in the skiff and got the old oars out, and that's the way we fished tarpon. And I love the game. I was crazy about it. And I was very successful and a strong young man, and I didn't mind fishing out there as long as they wanted to fish, and if there wasn't a boat handed to pull us in, well, I'd row the boat all the way in after fishing all day. And I loved the game because with educated people, that's the schooling I got. That's where I got what schooling I do have, is by listening to and talking with the intelligent people. I was crazy about guiding. I just loved it. And they liked me because I was young and strong and didn't mind fishing as long as they wanted to. A good many of the other boys, pretty old men, they'd get tired out after about 7-8 hours out of it, but I didn't know what getting tired was. I just
kept going. <huh?
laughs> I guess you had that same experience right now, but then, you know, it'll get you down later on. Let's cut this thing off and talk about, see what we...
Let's see what we're
trying. To start it off, it was a freezing weather, and I was bogged down in the kitchen up there, and I just said, "Sure, this isn't infinite of what we are shooting at." And but I want to get I'm going to Randy's Pass, and I'm going to buy me lumber to build a boat and get my older brother to build me a boat. Instead of using a pair of oars, well, we'd just use that motor. And that's what I done. And I had a friend over there that went to prison and knew what friendship was. There was Jack Dubois. And I went over and talked to Jack for a while and told him what I wanted and asked him if he'd throw my note for $500 to buy the lumber to build a boat. And he did, and I did, and we did. So we come back home with a boatload of lumber. And there were two or three of those boatloads of lumber, my brother built me a very fine boat, had a good automobile engine. Now, we wanted this automobile power plant because of the transmission gear, and for fishing, it's ideal. And you could coast, or you could just laze along, or you could run like hell, you know. And it's most everybody had to. I got to use this automobile motor, and when it showed up so good, they thought, well, boy, this is the answer to fishing. Which
you said you put the lumber in the boat? What do you mean? How did you get it? Is that how you got it to Port Aransas?
I had borrowed a boat to go to Aransas.
In other words?
And I just went to the lumber yard and bought the lumber and pushed it down in the back end of the boat and brought it over here and built my boat out of it.
Well, how did the people, how did the tourists come to the island? How did the people come to the island, to Port Aransas? And did they have cars?
When I first came here, we had a ka-chug boat coming from Aransas Pass and bringing four or five people over. Then later on, the railroad deal come out as far as the docks, and a ferry come from the docks over to here, and they could bring the automobile over here, you know, and that was the other way that they come over here. But the first start off of it, they come to Redding's Pass, and we picked them up over there. But that didn't last very long, because it wasn't practical, and several of us got together, and the people and the boatmen and all got together, and they wanted to either come out or either go over and get them in a boat, or they could drive the automobile out to the dock and we'd pick them up over there and go, and then later on the ferry boat would bring the car, not the same kind of ferry boat here, it was a whole lot less suitable, but then it grew better, yeah. Like anything does when you're practical. And the men started coming down here in the car and getting on the little old ferry about this far out of water, and it carried about four cars, I guess, to start with. And being brought our guests over and back on that, and they come in the cars. Yes, leave the car over there and come on across. But the guides had a little better equipment than they did when I first got here. They had a great many of them used motorboats and some of them used rowboats and some of them used motorboats. But you had a transmission and automobile engine, mm-hmm. and you could go any speed you wanted to in it. It got very practical, and most everybody had the automobile motor in a old 20-foot boat, good fishing boat, and with the automobile transmission, it could go any speed you wanted to. You know,
how many people could you put on the motorboat? How many people would fish?
Oh, never more than two.
Never more than two.
There were one on each side of the boat, and that was all. We trolled, you know, all the time. And
today they put about 50, 60 people on them, huh? On the big boats?
Well, they go out there and That's just snapper fishing. Yeah. That. That's just fishing. But these people were tarpon fishing was the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, well, once in a while, if they wanted some mackerel to take home with them, the mackerel were just everywhere. And they'd go and catch enough mackerel to take home. But mostly, to start with, we fished tarpon with the old oar, tore out, anchored the boat, and man got in the back end of the boat, and we rowed the boat, and that was.
Well, you know these tanks out here, Atlantic Docks, the oil tanks? When did they build those and put those there?
Ooh, I couldn't give you an answer.
Oh, no, was it before the war, or before World War II, or?
Man, I just...
I can't remember.
I just don't know. You can get that information around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how did the people, I meant to ask you this, how did the ships, did they come through the jetties like they do now?
Oh, yeah.
And go to Corpus Christi?
Yeah.
Same way, but...
We didn't have big shipping at that time. We didn't have a hell of a lot of shipping that go in the coffers.
Mm-hmm.
But up until the time that they got the Corpus Christi Channel finished, they used a good-sized motorboat would take you over there, you know, or you could get on across on the ferry and then go on into town and go that way. That's the way it is now, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
We had a ferry that had nine cars, I guess it was, and used it for a great long while, and as things picked up and changed, anytime you can make a change for the better, well, we did, and we started off with nothing and wound up with a ferry now that was ferry nine cars.
Who did the ferry belong to? Did it belong to the city of Port Aransas, or somebody, was it a private enterprise?
No, I think, yeah, I'm a female. I don't know.
Can't.
I believe, but I don't know for sure, that this ferry over here belongs to the city of Port Aransas.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know for sure. Marty was never out and I never thought about it.
I was thinking about the ferries, the first ferry, that's what I'm talking about.
First ferry?
Did it belong to the city or? It's a private enterprise.
No, it belonged to somebody in Aransas Pass, I think. It would carry nine cars. Wait a minute. I don't know, there's six or nine cars. Golly gee, I don't know.
Was it motor propelled or?
Yeah. Diesel engine.
Diesel engine, yeah.
And it would bring... It was offset. It would be two cars on one side, one car on the other side. It would bring six cars, I think.
Six cars.
Either six or nine cars.
Well, it seemed to me that the ferry probably helped Port Aransas grow, you know. It brought people over and... The ferry, it helped displace
people. Oh, yes, they could bring the cars over and then they could not only fish, they could go do whatever they wanted to. And they could go down the island and go across that way and go in the Corpus, and mm-hmm. or they could catch the ferry and go this way. The number of people that come, it added to the general public. They just loaded us down with people,
mm-hmm.
and hotels were full nearly all the time, you know. And it just grew up just about as big as it was capable of taking care of.
How many hotels were in Port Aransas at this time? Just one hotel?
Tarpon Inn.
Tarpon Inn. Still here.
This one is still here, yeah. But the other one, wasn't. we had a hotel that was, I guess, washed out in one of the big hurricanes, and a fellow from Waco come down here and built one for Mr. Ellis. He was a good friend of Mr. Ellis, and he built the hotel and let Ellis pay it out to him. I forget the name, but I don't know. I think it probably comes from, they haven't thought of it in 15 years.